Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Here this morning. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from Scott Dockerman. Doc will join us. We'll get the latest on the Big Ten, the Hawkeyes, etc. with Doc. He joins us at the bottom of the hour. Baseball conversation with Matt Snyder in his regular spot. He'll kick off the 12 o'clock hour of the program. CBSSports.com is where you can read Matt Snyder. And then we will talk to Alex Bussey from CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports, as he gets set, along with the rest of the media that covers Iowa State, to head to Las Vegas a week from today to be for Media Day, which is a week from tomorrow. Trends, plays of the day, Circus Sports will sponsor those. They'll come up right before the end of the program. Tent is back, rested, and ready to go.
Hello!
How are you?
I'm great. A lot of mountain air.
Something to be said about that, isn't there?
There really is. Yeah. It was an excellent time celebrating my parents' anniversary. That was fun. Had the whole crew out there, 22 of us, and never done a family get-together with that side of the family like that. So it was a great time. Really was. And
expensive? I mean, is the town expensive? Where were you?
Steamboat. Steamboat Springs. Yeah. Mountain town.
Pricey?
Very much. Yep. Yeah. The good news is, though, my brother-in-law, JD, has a place there at the Christie Club, and he was able to get two additional units for all of us, so it was me and my sister and her little babies.
Nice.
And she said that her oldest, who is not even two yet, he was missing his cousins already, as you can imagine. He was, little Vinny was following Jack everywhere that they would go.
Yeah.
It was really fun to have a week with them and a week with really the whole family. So great time. Did a lot of different things. Got a little golf in. That was nice.
Very nice. Ball travels further.
It does. I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great time. Happy to be back, though. Raring to go. And now I'm playing catch up. What did I miss?
As far as what?
Everything. Because it was shutdown time. I did very little betting. Watched a little sports here and there. You know, we'd have dinner get-togethers.
So you downloaded a Colorado app?
Yes, I did that,
Circus?
Yep, absolutely. And played around there, but not a ton. My biggest hit, I hit Panama to beat Team USA in the Copa America at 7-1. That was a good one. But outside of that, it was a lot of just unplugging. And from time to time, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I wear a lot of hats, do a lot of things, and every once in a while, just to reconnect with the family. It was a good time and definitely needed. So excited to get going here and jump back into things. I got baseball. We're coming into our final weeks of the regular season. Substate's going to be here before we know it. And then we'll be to Cedar Rapids this year for the state baseball
tournament. Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'll be good. And when does that start? Last week of July, essentially?
It's a week earlier this year. So it's a couple years back is when they combined, and now both state softball and state baseball are at the same time. I know for the newsmakers out there and the people that are trying to get highlights from both, a little bit difficult.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're already thin
spread
staffs.
A little thin, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not like, well, they're both in Des Moines. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is for state soccer.
Right.
Here, you got people that got to go to Cedar Rapids, and you got people over in, Fort Dodge, and you got Stringers, and you got Carroll, too, for the state baseball tournament for Class 1A and 2A if you got locals involved. So, going to spread it thin, but excited about that. A little baseball, talking with Matt Snyder, and... yeah, my fantasy teams are doing well.
There you go.
They didn't meet away, I guess, here over the last week.
Just leave them alone.
Exactly. Help them out just a little bit.
Let them play out, right? Yeah. Good stuff. A week from today, you'll be on a plane, right?
Yes, yeah.
Did you take Southwest or did you end up on Allegiant?
I ended up taking Frontier.
Frontier?
Yes. Allegiant was okay. I just didn't like the return. So we have our national softball tournament for my 8U team, our final tournament as a group, and... their big national get-together is Thursday night, so I had to get back a little earlier than I would be able to with either of those. Plus, the Southwest flight was like $1,300 at the time that I was actually ready to hit the click and ready to go.
So I can anticipate a full-to-the-brim flight coming back.
Yes.
So what are your – so when do you get to Vegas?
About 5 o'clock.
On Monday evening?
Yep.
And then when do you leave on Thursday?
That's – we got to talk about that one because it's bright and early Thursday at 6:30.
Oh, yes. Boy.
So we might need a pinch hitter maybe to run the ship here and do a couple of check-ins with you and
me. Well, we can always get a bunch of, we have Big 12 media days, so it'll be a bunch of Big 12 audio can send back.
Yeah, we got plenty of that, and excited to hear from Coach Campbell.
I'm excited, too. I'm actually looking forward to getting on the field at Allegiant Stadium. Yeah. I've been in the building. Now, you haven't,
I have
correct?
Not, no.
It's really nice. Yeah. I was impressed. I was, because I saw it, you know, being built as many trips out there, and you just went on, here we go, another dome.
Right.
You know, what's gonna be the distinction? What's gonna differentiate this from some of the others? It's nice. I was surprised in a positive way. So that'll be fun. And Campbell goes on Tuesday afternoon, and then Your Mark starts on Tuesday morning, which I think we're gonna try and find a way to carry that press conference, because he seemingly every time he speaks he makes news.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if you're
even when he tries not to,
right? Yeah.
Even when he's kind of we'll see. But just the way that he terms things, the way that he speaks is
open for business. Well, what do you mean? Well,
and then it's good for us because then we can speculate.
Yeah, absolutely.
About exactly what that means. That's going to be out there, right? He's going to say it again.
Oh, I hope. Yeah, I would hope so. I hope he gets asked some questions. Look, if you're an Iowa State fan, I think that you're very pleased that Brett Yormark is guiding your conference.
No doubt.
Because it could be a whole lot worse.
Yes,
right?
As we know,
it could be a whole lot worse. And
Dan Beebe.
Yeah. Is that Twitter account, or was it a Twitter account?
It was, yeah. I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time either. I wonder if that thing shut down. So that's next week. Look forward to that. It's a short week. I shouldn't say that because you never know about the morning show. I anticipate they'll be here on Friday morning. But the two other shows, yes, we're down to three. For the time being, Colin Cowherd's going to air after our program. It's temporary. I don't know what that means, but that's what we were told. So temporarily, for the time being, I think is how it was put to me. Colin Cowherd will air from 1 until 3 before we get back to local programming from 3 until 6. But I do know that you and I will not be here Friday, and Heather and Sean will not be here Friday. The Morning Rush do things a little bit differently. More power to them if they want to work on Friday morning.
Absolutely.
How about it, boys? Have at it. I know Justin Miller's on vacation.
Is he?
So that way, maybe put a kink into their plans.
Right.
Who knows? So we are going to work Labor Day. That was the trade-off. And I think that made sense for a whole long time is to, you know, what we're doing, taking the Monday of Cy-Hawk week off.
To shorten that week already, our biggest week.
It is. And we've had each school will have had a game. The NFL starts on Thursday of that week. It's just such a busy week football-wise. And I've always... Why do we take a day off? Well, we're not going to take Labor Day. We'll be here now going forward. And in exchange for that, we're going to take Friday off. So kind of a long weekend for everybody, July the 4th. I hate today, Trent. I've said it. I'll just, it's Canada Day. That means, you know, okay, big deal, right? I live in the States.
What is that? They got away from the Queen? What is Canada Day? What does it mean? Just a celebration of Canada?
Yeah, it's like you're July the 4th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's July the 4th.
But it's not Declaration of Independence.
No, but it's the country was born on July 1st. I want to get the date right.
Ooh, this is going to be a tough one.
I know it's 67. Is it 1867 or 1767? 1867.
They didn't beat us to the punch.
No, they no. So that's what that is. But this is the day that 31 fans of teams in the NHL are just giddy. It's Christmas morning. It's the first day of free agency for 31 of the 32 teams. The 32nd team does never participate. It's year after year after year. And then Wednesday will roll around, July the 3rd, and they'll go to the bargain basement, pluck a guy off that nobody else wants, make a big deal about it, and rinse and repeat next year.
Yeah.
It's what it's, I guess, comes with the territory.
If you wonder what Ken Miller's talking about, it's his Winnipeg Jets that free agents do not exactly flock to.
No. No, why would you? Why would you?
It's cold.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cold cities. It's small.
Yeah, there's just nothing to do. It's just disappointing, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody gets better today. Sean Roberts is walking around on here like on a cloud. His feet aren't touching the ground with one Blackhawk signing after another. And then there's the Jets. Anyways, let's move on.
So, speaking of the Blackhawks, you saw their newest partner going into next season.
Yeah, I talked to Mike Palm about it when I spoke with him on Friday, and they're very excited. Well, we knew that they were in Chicago to meet with the Blackhawks, and putting two and two together, you knew it was going to be some form of advertising. But it did not go over well with Blackhawk fans. I mean, that sweater, as they call them.
Oh yeah,
and that logo's had nothing on it, and now, you know, Circa's name's going to be on it. I tell everybody that will listen. Not that the Golden Knights jersey has any history behind it, yeah. But the first time that Circa put their patch on there, they had a parade after the season ended.
I think Blackhawk fans would take that.
I think they would, too.
Yeah.
I think they would,
They're too. Not quite ready for that.
No, no. But anyways, so baseball over the week. I watched your team all weekend long.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Against
the Mariners.
Yep.
Because it worked out really well that they were playing at 9 o'clock at night, and then after the Cubs blew another one yesterday, and the Fever had dispatched of Phoenix. How about that?
Yes,
and the comeback in that game, because they were getting crushed early in that basketball game. But I watched your Twins. I can't tell you how much better that broadcast is.
Yeah,
you know, I hated it when Bremer was pushed out. Just because, you know, he's been there so long.
I was annoyed when Bert was pushed out.
Sure.
Or retired.
Retired, yeah. Pushed.
And Bert.
Persuaded to retire. Encouraged to retire.
Yeah. And Bert Blylevin was at that point. Like, it was the same stories. He hated analytics. And, you know, Bremer would try a little bit and he would just despise it. And starting pitching obviously has changed. And, but it was very much old guy complaining about every single thing. And the Circle Me Bert was fun.
It was, yeah.
But it was also played out.
It ran its course a little bit, yeah.
And now this broadcast team, and I didn't think Justin Morneau could get to the point he is now. Was he on the broadcast?
No, he was not. I don't know who it was.
I'm trying to think who. There's a few guys that they jump in there. But Morneau has turned into a good broadcaster.
He?
There's a lot more life to him. There's
but he needed
more,
to be.
Yeah, because he was...
dry as paint.
Yes. He was so boring.
Oh.
So bland in the beginning.
Yes.
And now there is some personality. He's he's not Rex Hubler. Like, he's not that guy.
Right.
That's not who he is, but there is more personality to him. And I'm with you. It's a really good broadcast now. Corey Provis is a star.
He's really good.
And they had to do it.
Yep.
There's nothing in my mind that will dissuade me from... Dick Bremer was pushed out. I remember asking PA. He was baffled by the question. Paul Allen,
who
is as plugged in as anybody. And he, what are you talking about? No, Dick Bremer was pushed aside. And he was because Corey Provis was going to have other opportunities to move on and become a TV guy. The Twins had to do it, and they're better for it.
Absolutely are. You know, I keep thinking about this when it comes to those kind of topics. Why is Alex Cohen still... How is Alex Cohen still here?
It's a great, great question.
Right? He's so... And I'm talking about the iCubs announcer, if you don't know who Alex is.
You know, the White Sox job came open.
He's so good.
Yeah. You know, Kansas City's got that kid that we talked about.
He's not bad.
Yeah, about a month ago, who is 27. He's really, really young. And started with the Mets as kind of a fill-in guy, and he's done a good job, but... Those opportunities, there's only 30 of them.
Right.
And it's incredibly difficult to get in there. A Provis is one of those guys. He bounced around for a long time. He was the fill-in guy for Hughes for the, fifth inning that he sits out, whatever it was, for a number of years, probably 20 years ago now, maybe 15, whatever it was. Just getting into it. But once you get in, as long as you're good, and Alex Cohen's good.
He is. He's really good.
If he finds that home, he's going to have it for the next 20, 30, 40 years because he's that good.
No, I'm with you. Unlike the parent club, the one that he works for, boy, oh boy, this Cubs team, Trent, is one thing after another. There's no fire in this team. Well, except to Justin Steele, who lived into his
guys. Saw that over on Twitter over the weekend and him just screaming at
his teammates. Pitching an absolute gem and just bonehead. Now, one was his gaffe, but one wasn't. And then you move forward to yesterday, and there's your gold glove left fielder getting turned around at the fence in Milwaukee. And I mean, everybody makes mistakes. I get it. But they're just exacerbated now, right? They're just, the light just shines so much more brighter on because there's been so many more guys game after game after game getting picked off the base paths. Whether you're just, you know, picked off by a throw over at first base or you're thrown out at home or on the bases, there's just... You know what? They did David Ross wrong.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this Craig Counsell, he's just light a fire. Bench somebody. Cody Bellinger thinking there's two out when there's one out and getting thrown off or getting put out on the bases for him. Just stupid. You're making $25 million a year. Have your head in the game and not up your ass. For crying out loud, is it too much to ask? It's tough to watch. That's why I'm finding myself more on the Twins because, A, they're a fun team. Larnach, boy, that was a big home run for him yesterday late in that baseball game. And they're now easy to listen to.
Mm-hmm. It's a good broadcast.
And they're making a run at the Guardians, who I have no idea how they're doing it, but they're still there.
Well, as I was in Colorado, one of the games that we watched or teams that we had on quite a bit was the Guardians because of my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Vince grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, sure.
Big Guardians fan, big Browns fan, and an Ohio State grad. That's another story, as he was throwing me some shade waiting for that game in Columbus coming up this year.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Watching a couple of the games, just bits and pieces, there's one number. It was one of the Royals games, maybe Thursday, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was a four-game series, yep.
And they put up the number, what the Guardians and the Royals, both of them, runners in scoring position, both of their batting averages are through the roof compared to the rest of the league. They're 1-2 in the league, and it wasn't close between them and everybody else. We've seen this before. It's not sustainable.
I don't think it is either.
That's hitting at the level that they are, both those teams are, mm-hmm. with runners in scoring position, it's not something that maintains throughout 162. It just doesn't happen. The Twins sit, what, six back?
Six back, yep.
It's not over.
I don't think it is. Who do they have this? Detroit comes to town. That'll work.
Yes.
Where's Cleveland? What's Cleveland's got? Oh, the White Sox. Good God.
How many do they get against the White Sox?
Really?
And then it's the Giants after that who showed some fight.
They did with the Dodgers this weekend.
The Guardians get White Sox, Giants, Tigers, Rays, Padres, Tigers, and then the Phillies.
Mm.
Yeah. Pretty good month for them.
Yeah.
But if you get it to, what, by the
end of the All-Star month? Break or by the end of the month?
3.5?
Yeah.
Something that
got
range.
Got a chance to run them down.
Yeah.
Got a chance to run down. And who do they, tell me, let me fast forward here. What's the end of the schedule look like?
Well, the Twins finish up with weird ones because
they don't have Cleveland late in the year.
They do. It's their fourth to last series.
Not till then.
Huh? It's four games in Cleveland, the 16th through the 20th of September. But the Twins wrap up in Boston, who is a playoff team right now.
Right now,
Marlins. That's great.
Yeah.
And the Orioles,
who may be fighting for
the number
best
one
record
seed.
Overall.
Right. That could be
where's
very
that
difficult.
At Balt or is that in?
It's in Minnesota.
Okay,
so I guess that's the saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, after their four gamer against the Twins, they go to St. Louis, two for Cincinnati, weird at home, and then a three gamer at home against the Astros, who might be fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah,
we'll see at that point if the Astros can get back into it. But what happened to playing division mates?
You would have thought, right?
At the end of the season.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, in my opinion.
We learned about the weird quirk with the LA teams getting together and playing the two gamers Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, look, I'm aware that they played two games against, but on the weekend, that was what caught me off guard.
Taking Sunday off.
Yeah, it was weird. Anyways.
It was, by the way, Glenn Perkins was on the broadcast.
Oh, was it? Yeah, he's good.
My buddy Corey checking in.
Thank you, Corey. Perkins, that's a good booth. That's a really good booth, Perkins and Provo. All right, so I had Mike Palm on Friday, and I picked his brain. You know, I love having him on and going behind the counter and what's going on, who are you hearing that's getting a little steam behind it, where are you guys getting some money? Adam Chernoff, you're familiar with him, the handicapper who's really, really good when it comes to the NFL, and particularly he loves to bet his futures and he invests significantly. I think if I gave you 31 guesses, you wouldn't get who he's on this year as far as a team that he loves over, and he's willing to take this team over and then go up another number and another number and another number and still keep betting this team over.
This is in the NFL?
This is in the NFL.
A team way off the radar.
That he loves
to go over this year.
Over the total.
It's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're close, but you're kind of close.
Tampa Bay.
You're not close.
Okay. Same division?
One of the words is the same.
Okay, so South.
Yes.
All right, so we got Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, or Tampa. You said no to Tampa.
Uh-huh. And who did Jacksonville come in with?
Really? The Carolina Panthers?
The Carolina Panthers.
Now, I think
that was my reply as well. I thought I heard him wrong.
Both of us invested in the Panthers last season, and they were awful.
Terrible.
Just brutal.
Well, thanks to how bad they were, you got the first pick as a Bears fan.
Yes, absolutely. Bryce Young, year two.
What did he show you in year one?
There are some metrics out there that I've read about that paint a better picture than when you just look at the straight statistical profile for a quarterback, a small quarterback that kind of goes in line with guys that start off their career. There are a few things. Adam Thielen? Now, I love Xavier Leggett. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mir Smith-Marset's there.
Yeah. Been a lot of places.
Offensive line, I have no clue.
Right.
Defensively, Shaq Thompson?
Yeah.
Josie Jewell?
Robinson's nice.
Jadeveon Clowney?
Clowney was nice before.
Xavier Woods, Jordan Fuller? That's not...
No, Joseph Jewell had a really nice career in Denver. He did. He was a really good Bronco. They
almost surprised
him.
You.
It did.
Yeah.
It absolutely did.
Reading kind of between the lines, you talking about him, he was better than I think you thought
without
he was
without a doubt.
Be.
Yep, without a doubt.
You thought he was always going to be a step slow?
Yeah, he was.
And maybe he's a quarter step slow, but he wasn't a full step slow.
No, he was their defensive captain. He had the microphone in his helmet. J.C. Horn, their cornerback from South Carolina, is as gifted as the day is long. Can't stay on the field.
If he can... I guess that's what you're betting on. So what is the win total?
I think
it's
4.5. And he's willing to bet him at 5.5, at 6.5, and at 7.5. I think he's out of his cotton picking mind.
Is he taking a division shot, too? I mean, what could you get him at for win the division? You got to anticipate that's got to be a big one. The Carolina Panthers.
Yes, yes.
Welcome to July, folks.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't see it either. All right, let's see. Division odds. Division yes, no, Carolina Panthers. Let's get to the NFC South because... You know, I like to jump aboard with people.
I do, too.
Well, how about better than 11-1? Plus 11.50 for them to win the division.
Four-team division, as they all are, but still, that's a pretty big price, I would assume.
I'm not a believer in the Saints.
I am a believer in Atlanta.
You are?
Yep. I'm a believer in Atlanta.
With an old quarterback coming off an Achilles.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's my concern. I can't get there. And with a defense that needed a ton of work, they're going to score.
Yeah.
They're going to score if it's Penix or Cousins. I don't have any problems there defensively. That is the big issue for me. 9-8 win that division, and your Carolina Panthers are hosting a first-round playoff game.
I could see it. I could absolutely see it.
All right. Well, I'm going to investigate a little bit more on the Panthers. That's a good one there. Chernoff on the Panthers.
Yeah, don't buy it. I don't understand it, but that's where he was at anyways. All right, coming up on the program, we're going to hear from Scott Dockerman next. Have you seen... who's coming to the Big 12 media days yet? Have they released that? Probably better for Bussy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I have no idea, but I would think that we would be finding out pretty soon.
Right.
Since, you know, after all, they are next.
They're going to be there next week.
They're going to be there next week, indeed. Oh, my gosh.
And the Big 12, they normally take four. Is that what it's been recently? Four players that get to go
three
along?
Or four?
I want to say it's... Now, memory is... fading as we get older, as we both know. But I want to say for some reason, the four seemed like it was the number recently. So, if we're taking four. Are you taking Rocco?
Have to.
Even as a sophomore?
Yeah.
Send it him.
Yeah.
Who else goes along?
Well, probably Hufford, because he loves to talk. He can't shut up.
Okay. You... We'll see you on that front.
Yeah.
Not exactly the biggest name that's going to go along with there. All right. If we say Rocco's one, you're also taking...
Jalen Knoll?
Either Knoll or Higgins.
Knoll's been there since from the jump.
I think that's the guy. Yep. Higgins has the bigger upside and is going to probably have the bigger season.
Frailer's got to go. Yep.
I'm with you there.
Yep.
Cooper?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you help one of the walkout like Caleb Bacon? Because of the fun of the name? Give Iowa Pork a little push. Go that range.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a lot of lists.
Yes.
He's on a lot of lists.
An item is a stud. I don't know if he'll get there.
I think you take Knoll. I think you take Rocco Becht. I think you take Bo Frailer. And you want to throw in Jeremiah Cooper?
Yeah. Miles Purchase?
Yeah. Yeah, one of those two. One of those two. Yeah, leave Hufford at home. He just gets in trouble when he
just
talks.
Gets in trouble, yeah.
Anyways, we'll get a timeout. We'll come back. Scott Dockerman will join us next. We'll talk some Hawks with Doc. When did you get back?
We landed last night at about 12:45 a.m.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. It was a late one.
Whew.
Yeah.
Was it nonstop at least?
It was, yeah. I think our flight left at 10:20, something in that range.
Was it Frontier?
No, it was Southwest.
Wow.
And, no, it's about 12:15, actually.
Jeez.
Jack was sleeping. He wasn't pleased. Ella was sleeping. She was upset about it. Waking up.
Yeah.
Flung him over my shoulder. Got on the bus over to Keck. Grabbed the vehicle. Came back. Got the bags. And away we went. And, well, when I left this morning at a little before 10, Ella was still sleeping and Jack was just waking up. They're still on mountain time.
Yeah. Isn't that a great time zone? It's the best time zone.
It is the best
time zone. I'm with you. Yes. I think it's the best time zone for sports.
Yes.
Pacific, just a little too early. Mm-hmm. And everything ends a little bit too early. Like the games are ending. It's 11 o'clock Central. It's 9 o'clock out there.
Right.
What am I going to do now?
Yeah, got a little time.
Right. Dockerman next. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, just past 11:30 on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get to Scott Dockerman. July 1st means that the conferences have officially released some teams. In one case, a conference imploded, leaving two of the Pac-12. Scott Dockerman joins us. Pretty historic day in college football, college athletics, Scott Dockerman. How are you? Good to speak with you.
I'm doing well, guys. Can't complain. It's awesome outside. It's about the nicest July 1st I can remember. So I'll take it. And yeah, as you said, it's a historical day. And, you know, just got, 32 more days? And then the Big Ten can have its historical day.
That's August 2nd. Right. Yeah. And do you know when the Big 12 actually welcomes the four? Are they today or is that also August?
I think it's today.
Okay,
But I'm not sure.
I know the SEC is today.
Yeah, we saw the SEC stuff, but I might be shirking my duties to not know what Utah, the Arizona schools, and Colorado, when they're coming back in.
Well, we'll let you off the hook for that one. It's the summer after all, right?
Well, Doc, yeah. Before we dig into things, you are no longer the Iowa beat writer at The Athletic. You are now a national college football reporter with The Athletic, with your eyes on the Big Ten, and of course Iowa along with it. Tell us a little bit more about the new role.
See, this is news to me.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Scott Dockerman now, national reporter for The Athletic. Tell us about what the new role entails.
Yeah, thanks. I've been kind of ghosting it for a while, and we just kind of formally made the announcement a few weeks ago. But kind of expanded my duties, if nothing else, to where I'm going to be doing more Big Ten and less Iowa, as opposed to before where I would do a lot of Iowa, mostly mm-hmm. Iowa, and then do the Big Ten on the side in the off season, that sort of thing. And part of it is, you know, when you get into the season, you know, especially, then it's really difficult to kind of change your focus, you know. And there were a lot of really good stories that I just wasn't able to get to last year because I was covering Iowa so closely. But, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to cover Iowa. I mean, Iowa, I still live here. I'm still going to write about the Hawkeyes. I think they're still relevant, and they're going to be relevant this year. So it makes perfect sense for me to follow them very, very closely and write a lot about them. It's just I'm going to spread out a little bit more and, you know, and not just kind of, hey, here are the top 10. Here's what lead singers from the 80s, the Hawkeyes, look like today. I'll be writing about some other stories in the Big Ten, mostly Big Ten anyway.
It sounds like one of your old employers, one of the story ideas that you had to do a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did do that one.
So does this mean, Doc, that, for instance, Ohio State, Penn State, that might be a game that weekend you may cover that caliber of a game, or Michigan, Ohio State at the expense maybe? Well, Black Friday would be Nebraska and Iowa. So will you move around the Big Ten footprint throughout the season, keeping more of a focus maybe on Kinnick, et cetera, but will you move around periodically?
A little bit here and there. It's hard to say what'll happen. I mean, mainly, I think the front part of the season, I'll be mostly Iowa. There mm-hmm. might be a weekend I might go somewhere else. But, the back stretch of the season, it's going to be a lot of keeping my options open in case, sure. I mean, let's say if Iowa's 4-3, I mean, and, Missouri or Kansas State or, you know, somebody like that might be in the playoff run. I mean, it's really designed in a lot of cases for us to really get into the playoff situation because mm-hmm. there's 12 teams now, and I'll be able to do more. And it won't be just Midwestern based. I might fly somewhere west or whatever, but primarily
I'm still gonna write a lot about Iowa. I'm not gonna take that away from me.
Gotcha. Will the Athletic replace you with a permanent Iowa writer? Do you know?
Oh no. I mean, I'm still gonna do Iowa. I'll right. Just do more of other things.
Gotcha.
So you know, we've kind of you know, a lot of our beat structure has changed a little bit, and so you know, but this also frees me up to do say. An Iowa State story, too, because I think they're going to be really good. And so I'm not necessarily, you know, if Jack Trice Stadium's or the Jack Trice 100-year anniversary, you know, goes on, would have gone on this year instead, that I'd probably, I'd have the freedom to do that, unlike in the past.
Doc, with that, we're going to turn our attention back to Iowa and Iowa football coming up this year. Listening to you throughout our conversations leading up here, what you just said, you think Iowa's going to be very relevant. When you talk about very relevant, the conversation, Iowa goes 10-2 this year, lose to Ohio State, lose another. And it can't be against Illinois State or can't be against probably Maryland, but they lose, say, to Wisconsin for that second loss. A 10-2 Iowa team on the surface with the 12-team playoff looks really good. Depending on how the loss goes to Ohio State, though, that's going to be a component too. How solid is the chances with us really not knowing how this structure is going to be, a 10-2 Iowa team getting into the college football playoff?
I would say 40%. It's going to be right on the border. I mean, they're going to be somewhere between 10 and 14, and it just kind of, it's not, and if they're 11-1, they're in. If they're 10-2, then you've got to consider all the other 10-2 teams that are like them. You know, say a Penn State, for instance. I mean, they don't play Iowa, so you got to measure Iowa's resume against Penn State or Tennessee or another and a bunch of other teams. And then you got to also wonder if, say Iowa State happens to win the Big 12, are they in the top 10 or are they 15? Are they, you know, because it doesn't matter. If they win the Big 12, then they're in the playoff and get a bye. You know, and then same thing with a Liberty or Memphis or something like that. So it really kind of depends on everybody else. If you're 10-2, you don't want to put yourself in that position, but you've also put yourself in a position to where you can be very, very competitive for that spot. I mean, you know, Ohio State's the one that everybody, we look at as a given. It's just everybody else that Iowa State to me is one of the top two or three teams on Iowa's schedule. And I think their schedule's, you know, fairly good, fairly, you know, it's doable for Iowa to get to 10-2, but it's also, there's some challenges in there. Wisconsin, I think Nebraska's going to be much improved. Northwestern's not going to be an easy out. And, you know, and even Troy, I think Troy was really good last year for being a G5 team. So, it's holistic if it's 10-2, that's for sure.
Doc, most folks believe, and I'm one of them, that Ohio State is clearly the class of the Big Ten again this year. Who would be next in your mind? I mean, the defending champions lose their quarterback, but they bring back a whole bunch of guys. They got a new head coach as well, so you got to put that out there. Is it Michigan? Is it Penn State? Who do you think is the closest pursuer to Ohio State when it's all said and done?
I think it's Oregon. I think Oregon may be one of the top two or three teams in the country. If they've got a challenging schedule, as we know, you know, because they do have to go to Michigan. They host Ohio State. They have, you know, Washington, which is a huge rivalry for them. Now Washington's, you know, and depleted to the nth degree, but, you know, and they also play Oregon State early in the year and some other teams that are pretty good. But Oregon is stacked. Oregon is the one team that can beat Ohio State. I think those are the two teams that to me that I think you put the playoff and, you know, one's going to get a bye and one's going to get a home game. You know, and then it's kind of to be between, you know, 3 to 5 teams to whether or not you can get 1 to 2 more playoff spots. And I think Penn State would be my third, either Iowa or Michigan, my fourth, and then fifth. And then I think you got a USC, you got a Wisconsin, you've even got Nebraska that I think has the capabilities to sneak their way up there. Nebraska has the easiest schedule in the Big Ten, and they had a very, very good defense and a horrible offense, if that sounds familiar, last year. And I think they've got a chance too.
One team that we haven't talked a lot about this year, and they're not on the Iowa schedule again, as we saw that fall off a bunch during the Leaders and Legends days, was Illinois. Rivalry game. Bielema, I don't know if momentum stopped a year ago, but it certainly slowed down. There was a lot of talk about him and Ryan Walters not getting together. Altmaier back at the quarterback position. What is Illinois? Is it maybe they'll win six or seven games and that's it? What, as a whole, that program, what Bielema's tried to do to build that thing up, a program that just has not been consistent in either of our lifetimes?
Yeah, not since Dick Butkus was there. Right. Pete Elliott as head coach. No, I think Illinois, this is a big year for Brett Bielema. No question in my mind. I mean, this is what, year four? And 2 years ago, it looked like they were kind of on the right path to being relevant in the Big Ten, to be competitive in the upper third in that area. And last year, they took a huge step back. I mean, they were close in a couple of games, but not getting to a bowl game really matters if you're Illinois. And, you know, Luke Altmaier is, you know, played well at times last year, but really the difference was 2 years ago, they had an amazing defense left over from Lovie Smith. Some of those players, Devin Witherspoon, and, you know, and then they had, you know, the twins back there, Sidney Brown and Chase Brown at running back, and some just amazing players. And then they haven't been able to replicate that, you know, especially this year. You know, so they've got a long ways to go. I think if their line of scrimmage play could be decent with Luke Altmaier, with Pat Bryant, who I think might be one of the best players we're not going to talk about, a wide receiver who, you know, was, what, fifth in touchdown pass, I think he had eight last year. If Illinois can, you know, win some of those close games and play decent along the line of scrimmage, I think it'll look like they're back into being in competitive territory. If not, if they don't make it to a bowl game in year four, I think any momentum is stopped, and then it becomes hot seat territory.
Mm-hmm. What about the Gophers? What do you expect out of them? And they are on Iowa's schedule.
Yeah. They have a tougher schedule, but I also think that P.J. Fleck has demonstrated that his teams can be competitive. Maybe unlike Brett at Illinois, where they're still kind of trying to build something, P.J.'s at least established that this program is not just a bottom feeder, that they're going to be compete. And I like their quarterback. They grabbed Max Brosmer from New Hampshire, and he was the AFCA first-team All-American FCS quarterback last year. Just a really good player. And we know what they're going to do up front. They've got one of the best tackles in the country, and you know, they're going to be physical. They're going to run the ball. And then on defense, they usually play decent defense. So I think they're going to be a competitive team at minimum for a bowl game. I don't know if I see them, though, getting past like the 7-8 win territory this year, unless Brosmer just does something that I'm not, you know, not projecting, which is Heisman's type season. But I think they could still be in the 7-8 win territory.
So I brought up Illinois. It just jumped out because I read your article last week talking about walk-ons and the potential that walk-ons go away. It's very difficult to wrap your mind around how this actually could happen in college football. Can you give us the nuts and bolts exactly how this potentially could look and the possibility that walk-ons are no longer a thing? And it's not just impactful to Iowa and Iowa State. I mean, you just talk about the Midwest as a whole. This is a huge, huge potential, I don't want to say landscape changing, but it is impactful for a lot of programs out there, walk-ons going away. Give us the nuts and bolts of that.
The challenge is, Trent, that they're going to go to roster sizes rather than scholarship limits and then unlimited roster size. Mm-hmm. You know, so it, you know, and what that number is, it hasn't been decided yet. It could be 100, it could be 110, it could be 105, something to that effect. Well, in the past, we've had 85 scholarships and then basically unlimited walk-ons, and most teams have between, I don't know, you know, right around 110, 115, so, you know, 25 to 30 walk-ons. Well, that's all going to be gone, and you're going to have the ability to scholarship all of those players. Now, some schools won't, some schools will. And, of course, there's a big difference. I mean, if Iowa is going to go ahead and fill 105 scholarships and Illinois is going to fill 85, well, they're going to get a humongous advantage. So I think everybody's going to try to fill those best they can. The problem is, Trent, as we see in the Midwest especially, as you know, teams like Iowa and Iowa State and the others rely a lot on those three-star kids from big, you know, micropolitans to small towns to farm towns. And do you really know when one kid's 6'4", 235, and the other kid's 6'4", 240, who's going to be a better offensive lineman? You don't know. You know, it's like really the difference between a fifth-round draft pick in the NFL draft and an undrafted free agent
it's not until you get to camp or in Iowa's case or at college level, get them in your developmental program and see how they compete. And so there's going to be a lot of whiffs, and there's going to be a lot of really good players that end up at either FCS programs, junior college programs, NAIA schools. And but the portal will still be hopping after that, because I think what we'll see also is schools that will be more willing to depart from their players and not necessarily cut them, but encourage them that maybe they need to look for another opportunity. So it'll be a little bit more cutthroat, I think, holistically.
Doc, we're a week away from media days getting underway, and they're seemingly a universal topic that comes up, whether you're at SEC or Big Ten or Big 12, every year. What do you think that's going to be this year? Is it realignment? Is it NIL? Is it the court ruling? What are people in the media want to talk to Petitti about? Are going to talk to Yormark about that? Seemingly every commissioner is going to get asked about.
Yeah, I think it's all of those things, because the judgment was just finalized what, about 6 weeks ago, and it actually isn't finalized. It was just agreed upon. So, everybody wants to know, what does this look like? What does this mean? Just like what we talked about with scholarships and, paying these players, and what does it mean for Title IX? I mean, I think those are the big picture questions that everybody still has. And my guess is that, people still don't really know exactly what it looks like. They may have a little bit better direction than they did in May. Mark my words, I think that when it comes to the pay for play, you've got one side that believes that it should just be based on marketability, and you have another that says it's going to be based on male-female student-athlete ratio, and it's going to go to court either way at some point, because there's a reason why they're collectives, and it's for football and men's basketball. Mm-hmm. That's the primary reason, and women's basketball is kind of clipped in there too, but that's the main reason for it. So one way or the other, it's going to end up in court, and that's probably a healthy thing. But I think those are going to be issues that everybody's going to really, ask about and find out if there's any more updates. I don't know about expansion. I think that's probably going to be a key thing in the ACC meetings to see kind of where everybody sits. But, when it comes to expansion and what these new programs mean for the schools and how that they'll, interject themselves into these conferences, I think that'll also be a major storyline.
Off the football path, and I know you've been watching, though not writing about WNBA and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, what a comeback yesterday. And doing it against Diana Taurasi, had to feel good, even battling through illness, nearly a triple-double for Caitlin Clark. I know you're watching it a ton, Doc. Just your thoughts overall as we're, halfway through the season now and looking forward to the Olympics, about the way things are going for Caitlin Clark here in year number one.
It seems to be in a little bit healthier place now than it was like 3 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing for them in this league, because my biggest fear was it was just going to get so toxic that it'd turn everybody away. You don't want to watch that. But I think, Caitlin's showing what she can do. And she's just a rookie. That's the funniest part is, I don't know that fans expected her to dominate. I think they expected her to be good, which she is, yep, clearly very good. But I think there's a lot of people who don't like her, who are not fans of her, who are like making fun of her. And I'm like, give her another year or two and she's going to dominate this game just as much. Mm-hmm. But I think the impact that she's had has been profound. It's maybe the greatest impact that we've seen in female sports. Yesterday just walking off the court to a standing ovation, it shows you that how much she has elevated the profile of that league. And I think the veterans who were not necessarily in her corner right away, I think they wanted her to prove herself, but it seems like that they are gradually coming over to her side, and it seems like Indiana, for the most part, not every game, is playing better together. I still think they could use a better coach, but other than that, I do think that it's been a good run for her, and it's been fun to watch the Martinis, and tomorrow mm-hmm. night they get a play. The Aces yep. and the Fever, so it'll be fun to watch that too.
Was she a liability defensively at Iowa? Apparently she is in the WNBA.
Yeah, a little bit.
Was she?
Yeah, she's not as, she's a good rebounder.
Yep.
And she's good at steals, but as far as, that's why Gabby Marshall would walk out of games with no points or maybe a three-pointer, because she was in charge of guarding the best offensive player. I mean, this happens to every elite guard. I mean, ask James Harden how much defense he does on a week-by-week basis.
Scott Dochterman from The Athletic. Doc, congratulations on the move up. I did not realize that. Glad you're still going to be your primary focus, at least we'll call it that, is Iowa, because that's what we love to read about. So well done, Scott Dochterman. Thanks for doing this. We'll catch up with you next week. Have a great week, Doc. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
Scott Dochterman from The Athletic. We'll take time out, come back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Take you until 1 o'clock. Colin Cowherd's show airs from 1 until 3 for the time being. And then, of course, the drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6.
Got a little something here for
what
you.
What came across?
Breaking news from NHL Free Agency.
Yes.
The Winnipeg Jets are bringing back Eric Comrie on a one-year deal, 825 Gs for
10 games as the backup goaltender. Big deal.
So this does not get your blood pumping, is what you're
saying? They had four guys that they wanted to keep.
Uh-huh.
It started this morning at 7 a.m. By 10 a.m., all four of them were gone.
Oh, boy.
All four of them out the door. And their news today is for the good guys as we signed a backup goaltender. Nashville in the same division, got three all-stars, signed already this morning.
Nashville's a fun place to live.
Nashville is place to live. Chicago is the same way, and they've signed five.
Okay.
Five. Jets got a backup goalie. Here we go. Plan the parade. God, I hate this day. Every freaking year.
Yeah.
I get up. I should be in a good mood. Mm-hmm. It's my country's birthday. It's also the first day of NHL. Just the same rinse and freaking repeat. And I'm good at sink or swim.
Yeah.
I'm going down with the sinking ship that is.
There's no jumping teams at this point.
No. Or any point, I don't think.
No.
I don't think you should.
No.
The team that you root for is your squad.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it.
You have some wiggle room until you're... What is the cutoff point for when you can change teams? Is it teenager?
Yeah.
Once you get like driving age 16, no more of that. No more changing teams.
Right.
No more,
who's
like
good this year?
You know, that is a huge component, though, of younger people.
Changing teams?
Yeah, I just like LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever he is, that's my favorite team. I don't get that.
No, I don't either.
I enjoyed a lot of players. I rooted for certain teams because of that player.
Who did you root for before the Twins?
Nobody.
Yeah, I'm the same way. The Blue Jays.
It was the Twins.
Oh, the Expos.
Yeah, okay.
Right. 69, one was 69, one was 76, 77, whatever. I was always a Bronco fan.
Yeah.
I was always a Jets fan, Blue Jays fan. I have welcomed the Cubs into my life.
That's different, though. That's more of your job.
Right.
And that's a component.
Yeah, right.
It's important in this market.
It is.
The Cubs are the team I watch the second most after the Twins. It just kind of goes with the territory. And I guess if you have to say, it's better when the Cubs are better than watching this garbage that we have this year.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's been absolutely brutal. But yeah, the people that jump around and bounce through teams. And now you don't have, talk about the scar tissue. We all feel that as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You go to college at a place, of course. Yeah, okay, that's at 18, 19, whatever. Yeah, you jump on that bandwagon. That makes sense, and you don't have that. But when you're 38 years old, well, you know what?
Time for a new team.
I love the Sacramento Kings now because
I'm going to be a Chiefs fan.
I'm a Pacers fan now because of Tyrese Haliburton. And if you've never had a team.
If you didn't have a team, that's one thing.
That's one thing.
Right.
But if you have.
Yeah, you can't. You stick with them. Thick and thin. Better for worse.
Heather, you're not a 49er fan. I'm sorry, you're not.
Is she now?
Well,
she's giving up on the Bears?
Sometimes.
This is a bad time to give up on the... Well, every time is, but this is an awful time. They're about to turn a corner. Trent, this division in the next couple of years is going to be bananas.
The Lions aren't going anywhere.
No, and the Packers are the same. They've got a young
ascending
quarterback. If J.J. McCarthy hits, here we go.
It's a well-run organization in Minnesota.
Yep.
Basically, year in, year out, you know, at minimum, they're going to be competent, right? Yes, there's down years because that's what happens in the NFL unless you're 20 years of Tom Brady. Everybody else has stretches. But for the way that roster, that organization has been built, in good shape. I got to see it from the Bears, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hour two coming up next. We will talk some baseball. Matt Snyder will not be able to join us, at the very least. Trent and I will talk some baseball. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have you aboard if you're so inclined. And then we'll talk Iowa State with Alec Bussey. He'll join us. He'll be one of the many out in Las Vegas for Media Days. I bet there's a lot of people that have been going to Big 12 Media Days for a few years that are back on the bang wagon this year. Hour two is next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.